spines if you got.
Here we go.
Here a little tip that I would like to relate.
Hello, hello.
If you got good bait. Hey, Leaf, how's it going, man?
Not too shabby. How you doing, Depp?
I'm doing pretty good. I wish I would have spent a little more time in the river. My weekend, which I thought I was going to have, I actually didn't get to have because of this Canyon Creek fire. But I mean, at this point in time,
another dose of crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems the problem is it's just kind of early in the summer. I'm not really feeling like, oh, okay, you know, we did that. Now we can go. No, I don't feel like we can go on.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a weird one. I found myself that evening out on a trip again, just like 3 years ago. The day I lost my house in that Carlton Complex fire. So it was a real Groundhog Day experience.
Was that the day I talked to you and you were coming back and you just...
Yeah, I was actually going to put my trip together when I talked to you on the way down there, driving past all the craziness, yeah.
Okay, so you were seeing it happen.
Yeah, I tried to get a hold of my clients and see if they still wanted to go, and I wasn't able to get a hold of them, so we just kind of ended up still doing it, and luckily we were downstream of that smoke, and just kind of got quite the show from the air crew there. You got to really give a real shout out to
Indeed.
Those guys. Just what a savior those guys are.
It was amazing how quick it was. I mean, quick on everything. I mean, it was a quick response on ground crews.
And the ground crew, too. I mean, don't leave them out.
Oh, geez, those guys were still working their butts off last night.
So. Oh, and I think they still are today. Geez, I just noticed the smoke has come up valley when I came down here to see you.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they still got a lot to do there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the interior.
Mop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of work was done. But thank goodness it didn't get worse. I mean, you don't need to look very far to see worse going on.
Oh, yeah, all over those unfortunate folks up there in BC and a few more all around. I haven't really had my ears open to that. I've been trying to stay off of the interwebs and the news cycle lately. Or
there was
not even trying. I've just been so busy.
Well, I mean, I don't want to belabor it either, but there was a new one in Kelowna opened up yesterday.
Yeah. Seems like they're feeling kind of like we were during the Carlton Complex.
Oh, they're just
like
getting hit all over.
Too close to too many homes. And
the wind really barrels through those big, long canyons, you know, that those big lakes are in.
Yeah, giant Venturi systems.
Mm-hmm. I think the one in Kelowna, they've already lost maybe 10 homes
something like that. Well, our thoughts and prayers to them,
But we're here to talk about fishing.
Yeah, you know, starting right off with a giant redaction. I hate to have so many of these close together. Uh-oh. This is like the second one in as many weeks here, but that just goes to show that there's no replacement for your regulation book, which is kind of the reason we got into the situation. I tried to interpret the regulation books. I don't usually look at them because I'm usually just catching and releasing everywhere except for maybe a high mountain lake somewhere where there's a lot of fish and I know I can keep them there.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like I just misunderstood. We still are good on the catch and release sections down here lower, but I would still, you know, if that freaked anybody out, I'd really like them to harness that feeling though and put it into this upper river section because it opened to catch and release like last season or something like that or season before. And I haven't heard a lot of people putting their feedback in on that one, but I would hope we can get some support for those fish too, because while it's not so economically important to people, there's even less cutthroat up in that section right there. So keeping them, I think, is just not a great idea at
all. It freaked me out. Let's go back and say what it is we thought. You thought you had read, and then sort of.
Well, I thought it was that you could keep in this in these lower sections down to Gold Creek, and luckily that's not the case. It's just above Foghorn, and some of the tributaries that I don't really think we should be keeping on too. So, you know, I would say read your regulations, but I guess in this case I'd say read them like 3 to 5 times because they're just.
Hey man, if you
the regulations are tough, man.
If you can't decipher it, I mean, who can?
Yeah. Well, and you know, so up in that upper section, it just kind of bums me out to see people keeping cutthroat up there because, like I say, there's less fish up there. You see a real difference in the look of the stream, less green and algae. It's more just like super sterile, clean rocks, not a super huge amount of food or space. So the carrying capacity there is less. Yeah. And I would almost think that, you know, the better idea would be keeping some of those adipose clipped steelhead smolt up there because, you know, one of the concerns here is that the wild and the native fish get enough food. And by the time this part of the season rolls around, you got adipose clipped steelhead smolt heading upstream instead of down. That might be a better target than your relatively tiny population of native cutthroat. And then we also have the problem of a huge bag limit for brook trout. You know, I've never in my lifetime caught a brook trout on this river. And like I've said in the past, through my experience at the Fish and Wildlife and on the job guiding, I see people miss ID fish all the time. I see them call, you know, they think they caught a brown trout. It was a bull trout. Mm-hmm. They think they caught a golden trout. It was a golden colored cutthroat trout. You know, and based on that, it'd be much easier for some of these people to catch maybe an adolescent bull trout and think that they're getting a brook trout.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sweet, right on, I'll take that. And I just see a lot of people go through a lot of trouble to protect them everywhere else, to the point where we can't even have catch and release seasons nearby when they're there. And I guarantee you there's adolescent bull trout up there. And like I say, just wouldn't want to see those guys getting kept through just kind of an irresponsible regulation.
Well, if you ever run for, what is it, fish czar?
I don't.
We'll vote for
you. Yeah, something like that. Maybe in the future, you know, as I get tired of rowing when my shoulders wear out.
Where you rowed out.
Yeah. But man, you know, back to the nitty gritty of fishing.
Yeah.
It's been really good. We still got just really high water compared to the years at this time of the year. We've been flirting with the 60-year average, kind of going just above, just below it lately. So we're right on par with that, but just with what most people usually think of at this time of the year, still well above.
Yeah, it was, I'm trying to think, maybe not last year, but a couple of years ago, super low about this time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we are already just not even able to float our boats really at this point. And I wasn't even fishing. I was up there hiking, you know, but right now it's like, I was going to, you know, throw out the number of about 1,000 CFS at Pateras being, when I usually can start to get across some of these wider, shallower holes. So that'll be that wade across, possibly, at that 1,000 CFS at Pateras, not at Winthrop.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference there. If you're reading 1,000 CFS at Winthrop, it could still be like 1,500 down there or more down at Pateras. So that's a big difference. and so, you know, we're getting close to that. Getting close to the more tame boating conditions where you don't have to be quite as on your game to be able to get through some of these weird hydraulics, although some of the rocks will be popping up. So
there's a lot of trees sticking out all over the place, too, that are different, obviously.
Man, yeah, I was amazed doing the twist to Carlton the other day. Not so much in the river or anything, but, man, just a ton of them on the banks just laid down, probably going to, if we get a similar flow next year, be washed out by those by that kind of flow. But just a ton of them down by the middle of that Twist Carlton Road by the new Fish and Wildlife access point where they had the Bridge Creek fire staging point down there.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so down in that area, that kind of island across from the old town of Silver, just like pickup sticks on the bank right there with alder trees and pine trees and aspens. Good habitat, though.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm just I'm looking at more upper river stuff. And noticing all kinds of fingers sticking out.
Definitely, yeah. And on the on the Twisp and stuff. Now some of those logs that we could just eke around in our boats are definitely crossing the channel because it's smaller, but it's super easy to just be able to pop out and get your boat around it. Not sure about the Twisp right now for pontoons. Might be getting a little bit low now even for that.
Really?
Chewuk might have like a week left. Take your stab at that where you can. There's kind of a good opportunity up there at 8 Mile where it opens to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can get around that little dam that's just downstream of Boulder Creek. You just really want to be careful and approach it slow on the river right so you can kind of drag your boat down the natural channel side of that. And you could pop out at the bridge down there or at that dam. And then you got that longer float there from the bridge at about 6 miles up Chewuk until town or the dam just behind town. That's kind of a long stretch, though. So leave at least like 8 or 9 hours at this flow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, just another shape difference I've seen to the Methow is a lot of these bottlenecks that we had at the end of the runs where it was just kind of squeezing in and getting out through a little eek is now blown open by these by the flows that we just had, but in some cases kind of wide now and maybe going to end up shallow at the end of the year. But for now, just real good boatability to a lot of these pieces of river. And I've seen a lot of rocks move that hadn't moved in a while and you know, just been getting into some nice cutties, though.
Good.
The important part, we're kind of still on that Golden Stone kick. you know, they may not be out through the day, but they're always looking for them. And you may have to cover some ground, but you're always going to pull up the big fish with something like that. Mm-hmm. And we'll be into the hopper season before you know it, and hopefully not getting any warm water problems.
Yeah, so, well, so far, so good.
Good season.
Anything up in the high country that you've heard of?
Oh, man. You know, I saw Tori, our local Twist Works guy, Mr. Karpinko, who was up there. Looked like he got over to some beautiful places where I've been wanting to go for a while, up by McAllister and everything. I've looked across the way from some of my other spots up South Creek at some of that similar area. So it really made me kind of want to get out there myself, and looked like a lot of open fishable water in his shots. So
much water, so little time.
Yeah, and that's some of, but you know, that's some of the higher up stuff that I saw he was into. So I would think that on most things, as long as it's not a total north face way high up, probably going to be able to get in there and at least find a little open water.
Did you talk to him on the way in or the way out?
I just saw his pictures on Facebook.
Oh.
I was oogling from afar.
I gotcha.
Man, it looks great. I've been trying to set aside a few days here and probably going to go in the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
and I'm just trying to decide where first.
There's still plenty of time. It's just, you know.
Oh, yeah. Just got to make room for at least two or three of them.
No, I mean, it's something you kind of don't want to miss.
Ideally, if I had nothing going, six or eight. But yeah, you know, if anybody wants to book a trip or just need some fishing tips, give me a call at 509-429-7298 or look me up on the interwebs at Fly Fishers Pro Shop to check out the blog or podcast, or send me a line at madhowfishingadventures@gmail.com. Stay cool out there. Keep that sunblock on. Take care of one another and get that fish right on.
I went on down to my favorite fishing hole. Now I got myself a pole in line. Caught a 9-pound catfish on the bottom, came I got it. Took him home to mama by supper time. Sink me in a fish pipes if you got good bait. Here's a little.